some of the most horrific findings is actually for this research, we relied on videos in which the perpetrators themselves are filming themselves committing what are blatant war crimes. And it highlights almost 500 days into this conflict that forces on the ground are not feeling any risk, any consequences for the crimes they're committing.
Talk to me about the areas where these abuses have been committed. I mean, Sudan has access issues. Which areas are you talking about?
We basically found visual evidence, so from these videos, from many different parts of the country, which is again highlighting this isn't one incident under one particular unit or in the context of one particular battle or fight. We found evidence of this happening in Khartoum, a horrific case in which three detainees that were blindfolded, shirtless, who actually appeared to be underage children, were forced into a pit by Sudanese armed forces and then were repeatedly shot. We found evidence of executions by the rapid support forces in the Kordofan. So this is really happening in many different places. And again, highlights what we're talking about here is an issue of command and control where those responsible for these forces are clearly not making clear that this sort of behavior is prohibited, because it is. The rapid support forces actually have a code of conduct, for example, which prohibits the mistreatment of detainees. But it's very clear what's on paper is not being implemented and enforced on the ground. And there are also no consequences for this sort of behavior.
Talk to me about some of your efforts. It's difficult to get the spokesperson of the Sudan Armed Forces, and RSF has not been responding to requests for comments. Talk to us about your efforts reaching these two groups.
We shared our preliminary findings with both and have not received a response from either. Earlier over the summer, we published a big report looking into widespread sexual violence, primarily by the rapid support forces in the capital, Khartoum. And at the time, the rapid support forces had actually replied to us, sent us a lot of documentation, their code of conduct, their rules of engagement. There were concerns there, I mean, in sense that on paper they made commitments in terms of committing to not mistreating detainees, for example. There were concerns even with the commitments themselves. But what's very clear is the implementation and enforcement. And so this is where we are calling on international actors and notably the mediators who have been trying to organize talks between the parties in Geneva, for example, not to take these commitments at face value, but to make sure that there are mechanisms to monitor the enforcement of these commitments, but also that we start seeing consequences, because the behavior is not changing. These are forces who for years, even decades, have been committing heinous crimes and have been getting away with it.
The ICC has been on record warning the warring parties in Sudan to respect international humanitarian laws. Any recommendations here for such groups?
So the International Criminal Court is obviously investigating abuses in Darfur. They have said very early on in this conflict that they would be investigating new crimes committed in Darfur since this conflict has started. But what is important, of course, is investigations throughout the country. Now, there is an international fact-finding mission, which was established last year by the Human Rights Council, and its mandate is up for renewal in September. And so here we're obviously calling on states who are members of the Human Rights Council to make sure that the fact-finding mission is renewed.
People might question the authenticity of some of this evidence that are coming out of areas in Sudan. Is there any way your group is able to verify these evidences?
We have documented all sorts of violations since the beginning of the conflict in West Darfur, where we had spoken to hundreds of direct witnesses to the abuses. More recently, our reporting on sexual violence, we were speaking directly to service providers who are providing services and support to survivors of sexual violence. This report takes a slightly new approach and methodology, focusing primarily on visual evidence. Now, we in the report, we make clear that we actually have many more videos, but were not able to either corroborate or geolocate or really do a deep dive into them. And so we did not include those findings in the reporting. But the ones we have included, we have cross-checked, corroborated locations, also listening to what was said in the videos as the perpetrators are accusing individuals of certain things, the way they taught them, that the accusations they make against them, which basically provide a really full picture of the scale of the abuses of what we're seeing before our eyes.